Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, cause it's root for the home team. They don't win, it's a shame, cause it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Welcome to Let's Get Two, the baseball podcast from the fans' perspective. Now here's your host, James Christopher.
Yes, that's my real name, Perry.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and
everyone, welcome to Let's Get To. I am your host, James Christopher, and we are out here on Star Wars Night in Normal, Illinois. Before we jump into a fun episode, I want to do a shout out to the Daytona Tortugas. I'm wearing their awesome Star Wars jersey from last year. But like I said, we are spending the weekend. We've got two doubleheaders. We've got Star Wars Night tonight, 4th of July tomorrow night. Scott McIntyre is joining us. Jessica is here. We're going to have a great episode for you. We're going to be talking Normal Corn Belters baseball. We're going to be talking minor league logos, so stay with us.
Show me the merch, the best from the pro shop.
And welcome back to Show Me the Merch. We are live from the corn crib, just a few hours away from our second doubleheader on the 4th of July. This is live video-ish, guys. We got baseballs to dodge, but we picked up a bunch of cool stuff from the gift shop, and I want to show it to you because, again, they had a lot of really cool things going on. They had a lot of variety because, essentially, what had happened was the Normal Corn Belters went from being the Corn Belters, and as a result to the COVID-19 pandemic, created an entire league. And so we'll start from my left to look at the Normal Corn Belters, their regular game day hat in the yellow gold configuration. I hate to admit to people like Stu Clary how much I like the yellow and gold because it definitely feels like the Oakland Athletics. But I also just really dig the personality in the mascot that shows through on the hat. We also got a trucker hat variant that was picked up for my spouse. She likes the fact that she can pull the ponytail through the back. And of course, got to get a ball. Now, the ball I got in the Texas League, I got the old-fashioned way. This one I got using Commerce and Monies, but it features the Prospect League logo and the Corn Belters main logo. And it was Star Wars night on July 3rd, and we got a really cool Jedi corny bobblehead. Got it complete with green lightsaber, so I'm going to put him next to, I just now have a rash of Jedi bobbleheads. It's pretty neat. And I picked up for myself the KCL, the Colonels Collegiate League official ball cap with their logo. Very cool. And I was talking with Jessica the other night about how you don't get a lot of orange and green in baseball, and this was the Bobcats main logo t-shirt, one of the teams in the Colonel Collegiate League. But the coolest thing we picked up in Normal wasn't available on the gift shop. A lot of times, minor league baseball teams and collegiate summer league teams will play in alternative jerseys as a way to raise money for charity and all of that fun stuff. And so sometimes you see an item that you don't even bother with the bid process, you just click buy it now.
From the bleachers, the Let's Get To Game of the Week.
All right, so we're back for the first time this season with Jessica is on the show.
Hey,
we're back from the bleachers. So we spent last night, game one of the normal Corn Belters. Starting out when we walk in the gate, what was the experience like for you as far as how it went?
I think one of the things that I loved the most was really right as you're giving your ticket to the attendants to even walk into the gate, they have the stairs lined with a beautiful picture of a cornfield. So you feel like you're walking straight up into a cornfield itself, which is fitting for being called the Corn Crib.
Right, exactly. Love the fact that they immediately had bobbleheads ready to go.
Yep.
You know, because sometimes that's stressful when you're like jockeying for position.
Am I going to get one? Am I not going to get one?
That's one of the greatest stressors of my life.
I know it is.
It is.
Not mine, because it's usually in the hot sun, but that's okay.
You're like, why do I need this? You'll buy it on eBay anyway.
Yes.
So we get into the thing. Overall thoughts of just like the seating in the field. What did you think of just the experience watching the ball game?
Well, I mean, I think you can't talk about going to a game right now without talking about social distancing.
Right.
And so everybody, it was essentially general admission and you just had to naturally space out with each other. And I thought everybody was doing a pretty good job with that in the stands. I felt very comfortable. There was enough places to go where you would be able to find a good seat where you could have a good circle around yourself. Nobody in front of you, nobody behind you, that sort of thing. So
right.
Really comfortable.
And I think masks on the concourse.
Masks on
smart
the
idea.
Definitely. 6 feet distance in the lines for the concession stand. Also a really good idea.
And most people seem to have bought in. Limited people in the gift shop even.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No more than a six, I think, in the gift shop at any time.
Six.
So, and mask required in the gift shop. So, yeah. I mean, they're definitely handling the situation that we're in really well. And we were just glad to get out to be able to see some baseball.
No kidding. One of the cool things about what they did is every game's a doubleheader. So, we've got two more tonight. Yep. 7-inning doubleheader. How did that was your first, like, sort of 7-inning situation for a baseball game?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, at first, I was thinking, because inning one of the first game ran long. And I was just like,
forever.
I'm like, I guess I can see why it needs to be 7 innings if they can't strike anybody out. Then once it got rolling, I thought it was great. You know, at the 5th inning, we did the 5th inning stretch. That was new for me as
fun.
Well.
Yeah.
So, it was wonderful.
The second game.
That one was great.
Oh, that's going to be a race to left field. And that ball is gone.
Started off with being a no-no for how many innings?
Into the 5th, I think.
Yeah.
I think he was 6 outs away, so.
Yeah, he was so close.
The Astros were 6 outs away at one point.
Yep.
Yeah, so we got to see. So the no-head, it was a crazy game. And I know when we noticed it, other fans were noticing it too, where it was weird. So no-hitter.
Right.
Monster home run.
Right.
So the first hit, first run.
First hit, first run. And it was just a massive home run. Like you said, he knocked the seams off of it. Is that the phrase? Knocked the seams
knocked
off
this,
of it?
Yeah, he knocked the seams. He ripped the cover off.
Yeah, ripped the cover off.
In fact, there was one guy that yelled, "Get out of here, ball." And I looked up and it was, because we had positioned ourselves now to be like, okay, for the show, we're going to get the last out of a no-hitter.
Absolutely.
How cool would that be?
It would have been great.
didn't happen. So he rips it. And then pitcher loses some confidence, walks a couple guys.
Yes. And then I think he walked.
No, you know what? It wasn't him. It was a reliever. That's right. It was a reliever that came in and walked to.
And then
another
home run.
So
to
now,
tie it.
Yeah. So
to tie
it.
So now it's 4-4 in the top of the 6th?
Top of the 6th.
Yeah.
No, bottom of the 6th, going into the 7th.
Yeah, it was. It was the bottom.
It was all flipped. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was 4-4, but it was 4 runs on 2 hits.
Yes.
For the Wildcats, who I'm repping.
Beautiful.
And then the cool thing happened was, so they brought in their other pitcher, they get out of the jam, And this kid comes, you know, you see him running in because we're on top of the dugout and he's like, we're not losing this game.
He was hyped. He was like, they had just tied it up. They're going into the seventh inning. This is their opportunity. And he is jacked. He's like, we are not losing this game. We are going out there. Let's go, guys. And let's go, guys. Let's go.
I think he even said, we're going to scratch one out, which meant, you know, try to get a walk, try to bunt somebody over. Yes. He rips one.
That guy, that same guy.
Same kid.
And even better, wasn't he the last guy at bat? Like they were down to one last strike.
They were down to, the situation escapes me. I think that there was at least an out.
There was at least one out. He had two strikes and then did a check swing. And it was this whole dramatic moment.
Did he go around? Did he not?
Did he go around? Did he not? And they decided he didn't. So he gets to bat one more time. And on that last swing, cranked it out of the park. Ripped, so now it's 5-4.
And that was the biggest home run of the game.
Yes.
And he was, by the time he finished his trot, he was jacked. And then they go on to win.
It was fun. It was so much fun. It was like the best kind of baseball game you could want to watch right now. So
one of the cool things I thought about it, and I was sort of wondering like how these guys would feel playing baseball games. There are essentially four teams playing against each other. Many of them were teammates on other. It right. felt like they were as jacked. Like, I'm glad that they still had an energy about
The fireworks.
Fireworks, yeah.
Yeah, so it was Star Wars night, which meant we also got a bobblehead, which was fantastic. Add to the collection. I feel like I should mention, we even had the opportunity, since we had two bobbleheads from the same game.
Oh, yeah, here, you keep talking.
Okay, we had two bobbleheads from the same game, and as we walk in, it was almost like a drug deal situation. You had a guy in a trench coat with a bag sort of on the side. Not really, I'm exaggerating. But he basically was like, hey, can I trade you for one of your bobbleheads? And he had a bag full of bobbleheads to choose from. So, Jim, I was like, we don't really need two of the same bobblehead. So Jim was able to trade
for a Game of Thrones Madison Mallard's bobblehead.
Yes. Millie of Dragons.
Millie of Dragons.
Queen of Dragons.
She's so adorable.
Their 2019 Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Shout out to who I was supposed to be. Weirdly enough, was supposed to be at this weekend.
Aww,
this past weekend, yeah. I was supposed to be in Madison, but the Rona.
So I will say that was a lot of fun. We got the bobblehead with Star Wars night. They had lots of stormtroopers there. I don't know if they were part of the official group. Do you know?
I don't know if they were 501st. I'd have to go look.
But Jim was wearing his stormtrooper jersey from the Tortugas, which was really cool. And they all dug it. He got so many compliments on it. It was fun.
Was drafted.
And then at the end of the night, of course, we had the fireworks and we had also positioned ourselves for good seats for the fireworks too. So that was great.
So all in all, a great time. Like I said, we're going to double back. We'll be meeting up with Scott for another two games tonight for Independence Day. But
yes,
we definitely recommend if you're in Normal, Illinois or in the Illinois area.
Definitely. Go check out the Corn Belters.
And now the Big League Chew. An eye on the majors. Brought to you by Zoomer Sport.
And we are back here with the Big League Chew, and we're coming to you from the Corn Crib. As always, Scott McIntyre is going to talk over the unlicensed music that we're actually going to use in this episode, because that's what they do at ball games.
That's right. But I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it.
We're wearing masks to show that we can still communicate and get a ball game. And
yes.
Have a good time.
Yeah, having a great time. I mean, and in all honesty, the Corn Crib, this is incredible little ballpark here. You got the berms out in left and right, creating the natural amphitheater.
Yeah.
If I could just get you to understand that home plate's back here and not back there whenever I'm picking up my tickets, life's great. That's an inside joke that no one's going
to
get.
Can you believe that I used to be in charge of knowing where things were so we could destroy them with enemy artillery? Sometimes I cannot. But, you know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, because we've been following this this whole developing story about whether or not we're going to have baseball, and that's been this thing. And now we've gotten to the point where we have some kind of baseball at least happening in the major league level. And now we've turned into, you're a pussy politics. Because now you're being called out by managers and now by fans if you decide to opt out of a 60-game season. What's your take on that overall?
I think it's ignorant, because anybody that wants to take time off because they're worried about themselves, their family's health, people who are close to them, look. I mean, Ryan Zimmerman is sitting out because he's got an ill mother. I think she's fighting leukemia, if I'm correct. And he wants to be able to be near his mom if she needs him. And this is a guy who's nearing the end of his career. And he's like, okay, you know, if I don't play another game, if things don't work out, I'm okay with that. David Price, another guy who's getting older, and he's sitting out for his own personal reasons. I think you got to allow players to sit if they want to sit.
They're going to hold shut to the right field.
Through the right field. to the right side and on first base. That's what the pitcher gets for having his shirt untucked.
That's but, right. He's got his shirt untucked.
I'm just saying, he gave up a single and his shirt was untucked. I'm not saying that's why. I'm just saying that it did happen together.
It's but something anyway, about drag.
If a player wants to sit out because they're worried about their health, I think you've got to allow them to do that. The reason being is because health comes before everything else. That's either true or it's false, and actions speak louder than words, Joe Madden. So these are things you've got to allow players to know what's right for them.
Yeah, I think, you know, I understand Joe Fan complaining and griping about it, though I don't agree with Joe Fan complaining and griping about it, mostly because a lot of baseball fans are themselves not able to just say decide when they do and don't want to work.
Well, let's be honest also, if George Springer were to sit out, since you're an Astros fan, if George Springer were to sit out, Joe Astro fan may gripe about it, but Joe Rangers fan is going to be like, yeah, more power to you. Thank you, George Springer. You sit, please, for God's sake, sit all year, please. So it really depends on which side of the fence. And if people are playing those types of politics, that's completely wrong. But it's a health thing. And we're watching spikes happen in Florida and Texas and Arkansas and all of these different places. I don't have a medical degree and neither do these guys. So maybe they should shut the up.
Well, think about this to your point, though.
Self-centered myself, by the way.
I like that.
Yeah.
When we started this whole process, when we started the process of will we have baseball or won't we? The spike wasn't in Texas. The spike was in New York. Right. And so that's the whole point is we don't really know when the spike is coming. It's a heads up throw to third to get the lead runner.
Oh, two down.
Two down and his shirt's still untucked, Scott. What do we think about this?
He tucked in the front. So you see things are getting a little better.
So he's doing the frat is what we're saying. But yeah.
Kind of like what my daughter does. He's tucking in with his high belt. So he's trying to show off his abs saying, look at my physique, baby.
It's like he won best actor at R for something. No, so, but I think, ultimately, I think your point's correct, right? Like, it's either really about health or it's not. I already understand that fans feel some level of illegitimacy about a season already.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I think there's a measure of unpredictability with the virus and a lack of, as a country, we just didn't do what we were supposed to do.
Well, that's true. That's true. I mean, we haven't done what other countries have done. And, you know, Korea's been able to play ball for quite some time, but they're very diligent about what they're doing. Taiwan, same type of story.
They got fans now, Taiwan.
Yeah. Well, if you follow protocol, I will also say controlling something in Taiwan is about the same as controlling something in New Jersey. Right. So, I mean, it's a little bit of a larger landmass here. But here we are in the center of Illinois with Corn Belcher or Kernel League baseball happening in front of us here at the Corn Crib. And the people who are wearing masks are doing the right thing. The people who aren't, you know, I kind of got to go, wait a minute, folks.
Yeah.
But I will put it this way. We are at a very political point in our society and in this country. And until we get away from viruses being about politics and viruses suddenly being about science instead, we're going to continue to fight these things.
Well, and I tell you, it's interesting you say that because Jessica and I were actually nervous about what do we post on social media about being here, even though we're wearing masks everywhere. Jessica is the hand sanitizer ninja. Anytime I turn around and touch anything, it's like I'm a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
There's a bottle of hand sanitizer. There we go, right there, right in the spook of that.
So, I will also say, just for the record, that's not the only time she says you're like a 3-year-old. But still, not to pick nits.
It's too hot for a response for that.
I would fist bump you, but we can't touch.
I do want to talk about another baseball issue that I'm not prepping you for. How ugly is that Ranger Stadium?
Yeah. So it's not the most. It's definitely not beautiful. I will say I want to see it on camera with games being played. From the outside, it's not really impressive. You're talking about a place. First of all, it had Arlington Stadium not long ago.
Which is beautiful.
Arlington Stadium.
No, you're right.
But you could get on the parachute ride at Six Flags and watch a ball game. That's actually true. I did that in my teens because the game was getting late innings. It was nighttime in Six Flags, and I just kept doing the parachute ride because nobody was in line, like 30 times, and I was keeping track of the game. But when they opened the ballpark at Arlington, it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
So they set the bar here already, and they needed to go above that. And they failed. It's really sad in that area where the ballpark over at Frisco, Dr. Pepper Stadium, looks with 12,000 people, looks a whole lot better than the outside of the Major League Stadium.
I don't know how Jerry Jones didn't get a say in the design because it's in the same parking lot. His property value had to have gone down because AT&T Stadium's gorgeous.
Well, if you watch the recent 30 for 30 where Jerry Jones was talking about Eddie Sutton from the days at Arkansas, and they were talking about Eddie Sutton's alcoholism, and Jerry Jones said, for every drink Eddie had, I probably had 10. Maybe Jerry was just hammered and didn't, or they showed him a different design. Look over here, Jerry.
Actually, have it's you really seen the artist renderings versus what it looks like?
No, I have not.
The artist rendering is gorgeous. It's like glass and it's beautiful. It's not tin.
Did they order their stadium from Wish.com?
They got it from one of those Chinese places.
Where I think you get, that's like, what happened.
Your jersey's three times
it's,
too small.
This is what it's going to look like. This is what shows up where it says Rangers and there's two E's and one A.
So, but let's go back as we wrap up back to the Major League season. You're obviously, you got your Cardinal stuff on. By the way, keep a lookout for some of the coolest Star Wars jerseys I've ever seen. It was birds on a lightsaber.
Oh, yeah,
if
yeah,
if you
yeah.
can find one
yeah,
of those yeah, yeah. for me, I'm not going to be no, upset
I've,
about
I've
it.
I've seen them and I've looked for them for you, but not hard enough, obviously.
I would keep wearing, but, you know, let's say...
There's a strikeout in the
Let's say Chris Bryant, because there's also talk that some people might opt out because they're going into a walk here. Why risk putting up bad numbers in a 60-game season when you could go and say my last numbers were 19? Let's say yeah. Bryant abstains.
Sure.
Cardinals win the World Series.
I'm liking this.
Are you going to care that it was against a depleted Cubs team or it's number 12?
No, I don't care. I don't care. No, I could care less who we play against as long as we win. I mean, it's up to them to field the right team. And here's the thing. 60 games, a 60-game season, for anybody that thinks that's a tiny amount of time, 60 baseball games in 66 days is a hell of a sprint.
Yeah, it really is. With.
I mean, when you're in high school, you're playing half that number of games. When you're Legion ball, you might play that games. That's about a college season. And nobody's complaining about how much baseball they play in a college season. So to me, it's enough baseball. To what Rob Manfred's talking about, I do agree when he said we may get lucky to get 60 in. The way that we haven't hit the second spike of this virus, right. We're just hitting the second wave of the first spike, or the first second spike of the first wave, rather. Who knows what's going to happen later, man? So I'm it's just so fun to watch you do that. I don't know what's going to happen, but if you win the baseball games that you're playing, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. A look at Ballpark Grub.
So we're back in Austin, Texas. Shocker, this show is not completely shot in sequence. I am still wearing the Corn Belter Star Wars jersey. I might wear it to a formal dinner I have tonight. I'm going to be seeing some very dear friends of mine, the Marcos, including Bella, one of my former students. I might just show up dressed like Star Wars from the Corn Belters. But I was going to put Jedi Corny right next to Ruffy Wan Kenobi and Darth Swatson. Again, I've got a thing for Star Wars mascot bobbleheads. It's a healthy addiction, I think. We are back, but our time in the Corn Crib is still very much with us. We had an absolutely wonderful time. And as we know, so much about going to a ball game and experiencing a ball game is through the food and through the drinks. I mean, it's in the song, Buy Me Some Peanuts and Cracker Jack. So we wanted to talk a little bit about what we experienced gastronomically, what we ate in Normal, Illinois. When it comes to ballpark food, I'm pretty much a keep it pretty simple, don't mess things up. I don't always go for the fancy stuff that you have at a ballpark. Give me a really good dog and I'll take it any day of the week. And at the Corn Crib, they've got a really good dog. I actually appreciate my wife's picture of this food because it is very 2020. Note the hand sanitizer in the background. Now, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, and when in Normal, Illinois, you gotta eat some corn. So we had a couple of different dishes that we don't really have at a ballpark. I haven't seen these at a ballpark maybe ever. And we started with a couple of corn dogs, which were delicioso, very, very good. They rival the corn dogs that you can get at the State Fair of Texas, which is a pretty big deal if you ask me, if you ask any Texan. And I also really love the corn nuggets. Corn nuggets, delicious. Nothing but deep fried goodness, and honestly something that I was relatively introduced to late in life, and so I've become a really big fan. So I was really enjoying the fact that we were able to have them at the ballpark both nights we were there. And then I got introduced to one of my favorite beers of all time. It is the Hawaii 5 Ale from the Distill Brewery. You'll hear from them a little bit later on in the show, but very delicious, very easy drinking, and in the hot days of the Corn Crib, that's exactly what I was looking for.
Seventh inning stretch. A look at baseball's hometown.
I'm very excited about this next segment because it is a segment we came up with at the end of last season of Let's Get To. We realized that one of the reasons why I love minor league baseball and collegiate summer league baseball and independent baseball isn't just the baseball. Though I will say that I'm definitely becoming someone who loves these forms of the game even more than I love the Astros and Major League Baseball and all that stuff. But what I love about it is I am a big, proud American. I serve this country. I don't believe the country's perfect, but I do believe that the people in this country are largely and wholly and for the most part good. And I also grew up in Houston, Texas. So a lot of these communities were communities I never visited and never experienced, had always had kind of a fascination with, for lack of a better term, smaller town America. A lot of my film work, for a kid who grew up in Houston, a lot of my movies take place in West Texas. I've never lived in West Texas, but there's this fascination. Call it a Friday Night Lights syndrome. Going to Normal reminded me a little bit of going to Midland, experiencing this part of the country that was, in so many ways, keeping this country moving and keeping this country going and being around what felt like just good people. And there's the sarcastic line that I'm going to use completely with as much genuineness as I can muster, which is a lot. But there's the sort of sarcastic line in Happy Gilmore where Shooter McGavin's always saying, I don't know what you put in the water, but every time I come here, it's harder to leave. I feel that way about Normal. I'd only been there once. It will not be my last trip. I definitely fell in love with the town. I thought it was a beautiful, cute little town. I thought the people were so nice. They were the best. And so I just wanted to kind of walk through some of our experiences in Normal, Illinois, knowing that we can't wait to get back. We hit the road in Normal, and I was just taken by how pretty the whole area was. Nothing but big blue skies and vivid green stalks of corn, fluffy clouds dotting the sky. It was so picturesque to me. It was Norman Rockwell. It was Americana. I love the combination of old barns that had been standing for a long time and new structures that were built elegantly and with a lot of grace. Wide open spaces, green ground, blue skies, perfect for the 4th of July. Most of the houses had Old Glory out front, and I really appreciated seeing that. I'm an American, I'm a veteran, and yeah, we can talk about all the problems we have as a country, but it was nice to take a day to remind ourselves that we have the greatest country on the planet for a lot of reasons, as imperfect as we might be sometimes. Love seeing the old theater downtown, and they were having a stay-at-home film festival. Since I run a film festival, I understand and appreciate the beauty in that. Cool murals, something that really feels like an arts community that captures that college town feel. For lunch, we headed to the Distill Restaurant and Brewery where we had some yummy food. I had the corned beef Reuben. I know that seems sort of a lame thing to order, but to be fair, we don't get corned beef in Texas all that much. While Jessica had a Mexican corn pizza with chorizo on it, again, delicious. We appreciate the waitress for recommending it to us, but we did think it was a little funny that she had to explain what chorizo was to us, even though we were clearly wearing gear that indicated we were from the state of Texas. But all in all, we were a big fan of Distills, and we will definitely go back when we're back in Normal. So even as we are at home getting ready for the rest of the summer, we really feel like we left something very special in Normal. We feel like that town and that community is something that really should be valued, and I'm going to miss it, and I can't wait to get back next season to get back to the Corn Crib, watch some baseball, and really just experience a little bit more of the town. Again, to me, it just felt idyllic. It felt peaceful. It felt calm. And I can imagine how awesome it would be to call it home.
On deck, the Let's Get To interview of the week, brought to you by Fine Line Sportswear.
We're really excited to bring on to Let's Get To for the first time, hopefully not the last, Paul from sportslogos.net. He is the MILB correspondent and a collector of all things baseball, as you can see in the shot for the web series viewers, including the helmet Sunday. So, Paul, how's it going, man?
It's going really well, James. How are you doing? Well as can be expected, anyway.
As well as can be expected. It's funny, like, I bemoan the missing of baseball. And full disclosure, everybody, we're recording this about 2 weeks before it drops. So who knows
we could be playing on the moon by the time that this gets around to being there. But, you know, I understand that there are a lot of real problems in the world. When I say I'm ready for baseball to come back, it's because I just need a break from the real problems, but I'm ready for baseball to come back, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, I mean, there's little inklings of it here and there. Obviously I'm a huge fan of the minor league game. I live about an hour from Coors Field, so I don't have a ton of minor league baseball here, but I just bought tickets to go see the Western Nebraska Pioneers, which is a collegiate summer level team that's about 2 hours from my house. So yeah, I'm going to see some live baseball soon.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to the guys from the Colonel League on our show a few weeks ago, and I went from, a calendar for this summer with 50 games from when school got out to when I went back.
Yeah.
To nothing. To now a July where I think I'm basically now on the road every weekend. I'm going to Bismarck, Illinois, stuff like that. So at least we're getting some. I wanted to go through, like, you are the MILB correspondent for sportslogos.net.
Yeah.
Let me start with the easy question. And by easy, I mean incredibly hard. What makes a good minor league baseball logo for you?
Well, it has to be, the most important thing, I think, is that it has to be appropriate to the area, right? I mean, some of these best brands, the reasons I started writing about minor league baseball logos is because they all had these amazing stories to tell. You look at like the Hartford Yard Goats or the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, and they just seem sort of goofy at first, right? But like, you know, the term yard goat relates to the railroad industry in Connecticut, which is a big deal. The Iron Pigs relate to the steel that's forged in the steel mills, the pig iron that's forged in the steel mills of Eastern Pennsylvania. So, you know, it's about having sort of a fun design to it, right? Like, it's got to be sort of catchy visually. But to me, the most important thing is that there's a story behind it. And that's why, you know, I think it should be illegal for minor league baseball teams to be named after their parent club. They should all have something to do with their local community.
First of all, I love that you used the word illegal, because I'm with you. Let's get let's get Congress involved. But
the Constitution.
Yeah. I'd also like to require that you play college football in the state you were born. But I'm a University like of Texas too. Fan. Let's just dive into that. But no, you're exactly right. Like, as you know, I grew up in Houston, so I was an Astros buddy. I didn't know about the minor league game until I married a woman from San Antonio. And sure. So when I travel, I'm all about getting a San Antonio Missions hat or a Corpus Christi hat, but I'm not interested in an Oklahoma City Dodgers hat. Like,
right.
That's the thing for me.
And they had such a great identity, right? Like, their Red Hawks logo was terrific. And then, you know, before that they were the 89ers. I mean, Oklahoma City's had some great brands, and then they get purchased by the Dodgers, and now they're the Oklahoma City Dodgers. And it's like, Syracuse Chiefs were similar, right? Now they're the Syracuse Mets. And it's like, well, who wants that? And, you know, I grew up in Philadelphia, right? So I'm a Phillies fan. And I mean, my feeling is if I go to a minor league baseball stadium, you know, like the Potomac Nationals, now they're the Fredericksburg Nationals, I'm probably not going to buy a hat that says Nationals on it, right? Like, I don't care.
Right.
But, you know, they have the one alternate logo that's George Washington swinging a bat. So I probably would buy a George Washington minor league baseball t-shirt. So it's from a branding perspective, from a marketing perspective, you know, and the other thing is these teams so often now they're changing affiliations. So, you know, they're the Padres, you know, 1 year, and then 2 years later, there's a new player development contract, and then they're the Giants. And so, you know, then they're switching around all the time. So it's not feasible. It's not a great way to build a fan base. Because you can, you know, if you're a minor league team, you can switch affiliates and maintain, you know, you can be the Eugene Emeralds, regardless of who you're affiliated with. And that's how you really are building up fan bases in these minor league communities.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think baseball by its nature, I think, is a more regional game anyway. It's always been that way. We've always looked at it. One of the things I wanted to ask you about was the role of Brandios in all this, right? Because Brandios, I think, has done a lot of but I'm also wondering, are they themselves becoming homogenized in that the fact that some of the looks are kind of starting to look a little bit the same, like the Stud Muffin alternative brand Forgot For Who looks very similar to the Mighty Muscles look.
Where does
that fall into as far as we try to keep new identities going?
Well, I think you sort of hit the nail on the head when you said it was hyper-local, right? Like the Stud Muffins are an alternate identity for Binghamton. The Mighty Muscles are down in Florida, you know, a double A team and a high A team down in Florida. The teams are hyper-local, right? So for people like you and me who are enthusiasts to these brands, right? And we see, you know, they came out with the Rocket City Trash Pandas, and the Trash Pandas, you know, they kind of look like the Cannonballers. Oh, no, the Cannonballers were Dan Simon. They look like, I don't know, the Inland Empire 66ers, right? Some other brandiose. Here's a guy swinging a thing.
Yeah.
You know, we see that and we're like, oh, well, you know, that's brandiose being brandiose again. But if you're from Northern Alabama or you're from the Valley in California, you know, and you've just been a 66ers fan, you've been a Huntsville Stars fan, and you suddenly have this new brand, you know, you probably don't care what's going on with these other teams out there. You probably don't care if you're a Binghamton Rumble Ponies fan, you probably don't care too much about what the Mighty Muscles are doing. So, you know, brandiose, they've done a ton of work, right? Like they've done so much work, and yeah, they've got a certain visual aesthetic. They, you know, they get picked on for every brand they do has a thing swinging a thing, right? Like the Eugene and Rose have the Sasquatch swinging a tree. You know, there's always someone, you know, and the 66ers got a mechanic swinging a wrench like it's a baseball bat. And so, you know, and they'll tell you, well, hey, we didn't invent that. You know, that came from the San Diego Padres with their swinging.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think they've done a lot of good for minor league baseball, because I think that they really have done a good job of building up brands within local communities. Because often, I mean, man, a lot of times they come into these places and they do a rebrand for them and their logos were terrible, right?
Like, right.
There are some really bad old minor league baseball logos out there that need to be redone. Listen, I love all minor league baseball. I love it all, but the Mississippi Braves have a terrible logo. They need something different than the state of Mississippi with a star where they play and then a Braves logo coming out like a swoosh, right? Like,
yeah,
they're named after their parent club. So, you know, I think brandiose has done good work for minor league baseball branding. I think that they've given communities better brands than they used to have. You know, the Missoula Osprey that was a so-so brand, right? Like, and people love the Osprey, and there were Osprey that like nest at the stadium and everything, but now they're the Paddleheads and they have this like sort of moose based brand, right? The Amarillo Sod Poodles, that's another brandiose one. So yeah, they're doing fun stuff. They're sort of pushing the limits a little bit. You know, I'm not necessarily a huge fan. Like the Missoula could have been the Missoula Moose, right? Like that would have been fun. The Norwich.
Yeah, that was my next question. The sea unicorns. It's a great look. It's a great look.
Yeah, it's a great look. It's a great look. But like, did they outthink themselves by calling themselves the sea unicorns instead of the narwhals? You know, and I don't know. But second probably to brandiose is Dan Simon of Studio Simon in Kentucky, and you know he's done some great brands. He's done the Daytona Tortugas. The Cedar Rapids Colonels. He's got some really just terrific designs out there that people really like. But if he did 80% of minor league baseball's logos, they would start feeling alike. So
you raise an interesting point, and it's something I didn't really think about when I asked the question, because you know, to your point, the Paddlehead, one of their logos, and the Sod Poodle logo looks kind of the same. But you're exactly right. Like I'm a filmmaker by trade. Okay. I can't expect, like, if you watch my films, they're all going to feel like relatively the same filmmaker made them. That's just how art works generally.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, brandiose, they've got the sort of the thick stroke. They've got the grimace. They've got the guy swinging a thing. They've got the sort of, you know, kind of goofy, but also slightly menacing, you know, cartoon character. It's just sort of, you know, what they do. And every once in a while you'll come across some brandiose logo where you're like, that's brandiose. Like I had no idea, cause it's completely outside their normal aesthetic. But I mean, like you say, the Sod Poodles, you know, people in Amarillo, Texas probably don't care what the minor league baseball team logo in Missoula, Montana looks like, right? Like it's all sort of hyper local right now.
And in Texas, we generally don't care what anybody else thinks about anything.
Well, that's fair. That's fair.
That's pretty clear. you know, I wanted to talk, what's that?
I was just going to say, I'm drinking from a Las Vegas 51s cup right
Talk
now.
Talk about pour one out for one of my favorite brands.
Oh, it's a great one. It's a great one. And the Aviators is not good. That's not a good brand. I'm sorry.
No, you know, and it's funny because when I had read the brand description for the Aviators, they said that they went with a blue and orange, almost Astros feel. And I'm like, I, of course, love that combination. And then I saw the way it was executed and it was like all in the bite.
I know.
The 51s was a blast.
It was a great brand. It was a great logo. I mean, like I said, I'm a Phillies fan. I went there. I saw the 51s when they were a Dodgers affiliate and a Mets affiliate. And I still bought stuff, right? Like I'm walking around in a Mets affiliate shirt.
Yeah. Well, I've got a 51s hat. You can't see it in the shot right above me. But, nice. You know, obviously you care about this stuff. You care about what minor league baseball means.
Yeah.
You know, the thing we haven't heard about, because Manfred doesn't have to tell us, I'm sorry, I mispronounced his name, Manfred doesn't have to tell us anything. When you started following this contraction story, what were some of your gut reactions to it?
I didn't think it was going to happen at first. I thought it was just a bargaining chip. Like I genuinely thought like, well, this isn't possible, right? Like we're really not going to lose a quarter of affiliated minor league baseball. It's, you know, that's some bargaining chip that they want. And they're just trying to get, you know, teams to improve their facilities or, you know, I just thought minor league baseball would never agree to it. And I thought public sentiment would sort of overwhelm major league baseball. I've learned since then that Major League Baseball apparently has no shame over anything, essentially. And so there is no shaming them into anything. And it looks like, I mean, probably because of COVID-19, I mean, there are some teams that are just aren't going to survive anyway. They just can't withstand an entire year with no revenue. We're going to lose smaller teams with, you know, with facilities that are, you know, not necessarily the best facilities in the world, but it's like, I love going to these games that are these like glorified, like city parks or, you know, stadiums and that sort of thing. But I guess there are teams out there that have, you know, the Yankees have like 9 affiliated minor league teams. And then there are other major league clubs that have, you know, maybe 5 or 6, depending on, you know, which levels they want to place teams. And I guess they're just trying to standardize that. They don't want to, you know, the other thing I thought was that this was a reaction to the sort of public sentiment saying, you know, that minor league baseball players should be paid better. And so I thought Major League Baseball was going to react to that by saying, well, then fine. Okay. Well, we're going to cut a quarter of them. And so now they're talking about 4 affiliated teams, all full season, 4 affiliated teams per major league club. All full season. There's not going to be any short season or rookie league teams. And then I guess, you know, when they do the draft, such as it is anymore, you know, when they do the draft, those players, instead of going into a short season team, will go to like an extended spring training. You know, it hits me particularly hard because most of the teams within driving distance out here in Colorado are going away. You know, both. I think the only real team I'll have left in this time zone is going to be the Albuquerque Isotopes, and that's 7 hours away.
Right.
So we're like
you'll lose the vibes, which is a tragedy. The vibes is one of the best brands going.
Totally fun new brand there. I see your friend behind you here.
This is Lord Vader.
Lord Vader, very nice.
He likes to make his appearance. We're getting within 2 hours of dinner, and he likes to let me know.
Oh, he's okay. He's pacing back there, letting you know. I get it.
2 hours. This is his routine. But yeah, you know, I want to go back to something that you said. And part of the reason why I think we haven't heard anything about contraction is we don't have to. Like, right. I made the intentionally very dramatic comparison to this being war profiteering. There is a pandemic.
Yeah.
We've all, like, when this first started, we actually stumbled onto this story on our show very early in the process. And so we had Representative Trahan on the show. We had mayors of cities. And it looked like there was going to be a fight until they realized we can't fight for minor league baseball when we're losing jobs.
Right.
I really think that is the issue. And I also think, and one thing I wanted to take on, a number of the cities that are on this list to be contracted were actually approached by Major League Baseball to be purchased.
Yes.
This feels like a devaluing of a team to try to buy team situation.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. And the moment minor league baseball acquiesces to, okay, we're going to let you de-affiliate a certain number of teams, every minor league baseball franchise is devalued. You'll notice none of the teams that are owned by parent clubs are on this list, with the exception of a very few. I mean, I think the Grand Junction Rockies are one, just because they're in a league that's going away, the Pioneer League. But I mean, I really think that what's happened here is that minor league baseball franchises have grown immensely in value as minor league baseball teams have been discovering the value of branding and coming up with these great new looks. And you know, a team that was, you know, used to play in front of 500 fans, all of a sudden they've got this great new brand, and you know, marketing and branding in minor league baseball has really taken off. And franchises like the Nashville Sounds, right? They're worth so much more than they used to be with these beautiful new stadiums. And minor league baseball looks at that, or Major League Baseball looks at that and says, hey, they're riding our coattails here, right? Like they're worth all that money because they've got this affiliation. And if they were just an independent team, they wouldn't be worth nearly that. And so I think Major League Baseball's response to that is, we're going to upend minor league baseball as we know it. And my fear is that this is the first step from, you know, independently owned minor league baseball clubs that are, you know, have player development contracts and have relationships with major league teams. I think Major League Baseball wants a cut of the value of these franchises. Now they see what the business that minor league baseball has become, and they want a piece of that. And I think that's where we're going with this. And maybe that's the plan, you know, sort of 10 years from now, but I think they're undercutting minor league baseball right now because they think minor league baseball is riding their coattails, making a ton of money with the value of their franchises. And Major League Baseball says, well, they're only doing that because they're affiliated with us. And so we're going to take a piece of that.
And I think that argument for Major League Baseball might be true for AAA teams where players are an eyelash away from the pros. Right. I don't think people are going to a high A team because they think they're seeing a future star. That just the percentages aren't there. I think it's a miscalculation. You know, it's funny. One more question about this and we'll move on to something else. But, you know, I'm a diehard Astros fan. I've even got my brand new Astros COVID mask right here.
Very nice.
You know, the Astros have done three things in the last 18 months. Two of them I'm embarrassed by. None of those things I'm embarrassed by is the banging of a trash can, as we're seeing new news come out that lots of teams are figuring out ways to communicate things. But Astros fans that are also minor league baseball fans need to realize that a big part of this started with the Astros plan of realizing you can analytically evaluate a player without needing to see them play seasons at minor league baseball.
Right.
I think the hard part, and I wanted you to speak on this, is that to some degree, the owners have a point. Like it, to some degree, they are their players. They have the right to demand that there be certain criteria met. I do wish that people realize that it was the teams that played the players and not the minor league affiliates. I think people get that wrong.
Right. Yes, they do.
On the other hand, if you go through some of the things, so they talked about, well, what we need, you need to fix the stadiums, but Binghamton fixed the stadiums with the Mets requirements and they're still on the list.
Yep.
Whereas, look, I'm a big Texas guy, but San Antonio Missions Park is a dump. Yeah. It should not be a AAA stadium. We need to shorten the bus rides. No Texas League team is on that state on that list, and they have the longest trips.
Yeah,
why can't they just be honest about what they want? I think people might be a little bit more apt to support their decisions.
Well, I think Major League Baseball, man, and they are all about the public relations campaigns, right? I mean, it is, you know, everything they're doing right now and negotiating whether we're going to have baseball this season or like how long a season. Everything they've done in those negotiations has just been trying to turn public sentiment against the players. And so I think with this minor league negotiation here, yeah, there's probably a point to the fact that, you know, with the analytics that they have now, their ability to evaluate minor league players, you know, they don't need organizational filler, right? Like they don't need the guys who are going to be playing four or five seasons at the rookie level, you know, or a short season single A. They probably do only need, you know, four teams with 30 players each, right? Like to know sort of who is out there and who's in their system that they value. I think what that devalues more than Major League Baseball is realizing is the communities that support baseball in general. Like, I mean, you know, if you live in some places, especially out here in the Mountain Time Zone, right? Like you've got these leagues up here in, you know, Montana and the Dakotas and, you know, there are communities that their only access to baseball is through the minor leagues. And if you take that away from them, who's going to be your Major League Baseball fans, right? I mean, there's in Maryland, right? Yeah, sure, you've got the Orioles, but you've got like 5, 6, 7 minor league teams there. And so, you know, for a family, listen, it's a lot cheaper. I've got two kids here. It's a lot cheaper for me to take my family to a minor league baseball game than it is to go, you know, see the Rockies, you know, between parking and concessions and tickets. And so I think, you know, maybe there's a point to, you know, okay, we only need to evaluate 120 players at a time because otherwise we know what we have. But the short-sightedness of doing away with, you know, the community minor league team, I think it's just they're cutting off the nose to spite their face. I think it's just so short-sighted. And, you know, I mean, short-sighted in the same way that the negotiations that are going on right now are short-sighted, right? Like it's, yeah, maybe they'll, you know, maybe the players will get a slightly better collective bargaining agreement after 2021 if they don't give in on certain things. Maybe owners will save a certain amount of money by not paying their minor leaguers during the COVID-19 crisis, right? But like, what are you really earning for yourself there? I mean, if you're upending community support for baseball as a sport, have you really accomplished anything except for your short-term bottom line? And I don't think so. So I, you know, it's going to be devastating for baseball fans in Missoula if the Missoula Paddleheads never play a game after rebranding.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about the Rocket City. I think Rocket City will probably be fine, but you're right. Yeah. The Trash Pandas. What if they don't ever play as the Trash Pandas?
Right.
And you know, and I think that what you just described too is the problem where, you know, and going back to the Astros for a second, Jeff Luhnow, it's no secret that no one liked him. It's a big part of why this all happened.
Sure.
And it's because you put an accountant in charge of a people business. And he looks at things that certain way. And I think you're exactly right. I think that people will flip on an NFL game and fall in love with the NFL. I don't think people flip on an MLB game having never seen baseball in their community and go, that's a sport I want to keep watching.
Yeah, but they do if they go to a game.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, baseball is so much better in person than on TV. And I feel, you know, that might sound obvious, but like, I'd rather watch football on television than in person.
Particularly NFL football. It is a made-for-TV event.
Absolutely. But a baseball game, a minor league baseball game, or a major league baseball game in person, there's nothing like it. And I do a road trip every year with, I've got, you know, like 9 or 10 college buddies. And every year we pick four minor league baseball teams. We pick a different part of the country and we go see 4 games in 4 days at 4 different minor league stadiums.
Nice.
And it's perfect, right? Like it's so much fun. And we were actually planning this year, we were going to do the Northwest League. We were going to do, you know, we were going to even go up and see the Vancouver Canadians up in Canada, right? Like that was going to be, that was just going to be part of our baseball summer, right? And it was just like, it's like perfect baseball. You know, you get there and you don't care about the teams. You know, you just want to be there in the environment and watching the games and, you know, having an ice cream helmet sundae, which is a required, this should be another, by the way, constitutional amendment that you have to have the helmet sundae with your logo on it if you want to be a minor league.
Yes. Yes. I get them for my grandson. Well, that does bring us to 2020. So obviously it's very different. Are you going to try to hit up any of these pod leagues this season to sort of at least get some baseball?
Well, I just, right now, the only sort of accessible baseball I have is collegiate summer level. And so that'll be the, you know, about, like I said, about 2-hour drive from here is the Western Nebraska Pioneers. And so that's really the only baseball that I can get to. I'll be on the East Coast this summer, so I may have to look and see what's happening there. But, you know, I will try to get to baseball as best I can. But, you know, there's not a ton of it to actually get to.
And now on to close it out, the right-hander from Houston, Texas, James Christopher.
So that wraps us up with our coverage of the Colonel League. We had a great time visiting Normal. We want to thank everybody for being welcoming and rolling out the red carpet. We had a great time looking at the town, eating the food, and most importantly, watching some great baseball. We're going to be back later on this week. We're going to be covering the Sugarland Skeeters. We're going to be talking to filmmaker Darian Sills Evans. And we might even have a couple of words from Roger Clemens. So stay with us. I hope you all enjoyed your 4th. Stay safe,
stay sane, and until next time, let's get to.